Isa, Deacon Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
First of all, this Sunday is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And that was stated by Ronald Reagan back on January 13th, 1984. President Ronald Reagan designated January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Life Day. The date was chosen to coincide with the 11th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So one president makes this Sunday Sanctity of Life Sunday, and I have a brochure that please hand that out with information about the CARE Pregnancy Center over there in Martinsburg. And of course, we have one president who makes the proclamation Sanctity of Life. And here's what our current president says about Sanctity of Life. When he was not the president at the time, he was a senator in Johnstown. He was speaking at Johnstown, PA on March 29th, 08. And this is what he said: "If my daughters make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby." Okay? Now, my daughter was reading that over my shoulder, 10 years old, when it's like, "Who said that?" She goes, "The president said that?" And she goes, "What does it mean, punished with a baby?" She didn't even understand what that meant, because those two words don't go together in a sentence. And so basically I explained to her, a grown man, the leader of the free world, believes that murdering babies is a better option, and he would murder his own grandchildren. Our president would murder his very own grandchildren to get his own children ahead in life, quote unquote. Now, that's the reality of the world we're in today. This is right out of the Old Testament when they used to do child sacrifices. This is the evil, the blatant, unhidden evil that is currently the leader of the free world. So I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm not Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, who is too cowardly to stand on biblical truths. So all they pretend is like the liberal side is the opposite end of the conservative side. Conservatism is not a religion. Jesus is the foundation of truth. Conservatism is a fruit of Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have true conservatism, and you cannot say what evil is. This is unabashed evil. Evil. And those cowards on conservative radio cannot, nor are able, to say that because they do not stand for Christ or the scriptures. That is why they will always lose to unhidden evil. Okay? But today we know that a human being, once conceived, once that single cell zygote is there, that is what a human being looks like at that stage of development. It will never become a frog. It'll always be a human being when that one cell goes to two cells, goes to four cells, goes to eight cells, and you know how it goes. That's what a human being looks like at that stage of development. I really want to encourage you all. Mark Driscoll went through a sermon series of the Ten Commandments, and when he came to the topic of murder, he discussed abortion, and he's got thousands of people in his churches, and he's got millions of people listening to his podcast, and he told them all, very blatantly and very lovingly, that abortion is murder. He did such a phenomenal job. I cannot encourage you enough to go find that sermon online, because it's free, and listen to it. It has to be the most, what I would say is the most powerful sermon of 2013. So, with that said, let's pray, and then we'll go on to some other exciting stuff. Good morning, Father. We thank you that you designed human life. And human life begins when you say it does, not us. And we thank you that your truths have never changed. And we thank you that you have never changed. And morality has never changed. And you will win in the end. That gives us such great hope. Now at this time, get me out of your way, that your truths would be lifted up. And you, Father God, would be glorified. All right, let me encourage you with something else. Don't give up meeting together. Hang in there. It's all about getting together. We're having a fellowship Sunday. We're having a meal just to hang out, get squeeze a few extra, maybe an hour out of each other, to enjoy each other, to encourage. We're all in this battle together. That's the name of the game. And this is what it's about. Again, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. It is not optional. All right? And you don't have to answer to me, do it. I'm not your God. God is your God. Okay? So with that, let me encourage you on this. Wednesdays, we started discipleship life. And I want to liken it, because I'm thinking it's basketball season. I want you to imagine here, because we got a basketball coach here. If you got the basketball team together and said, does everyone know how to... It's practice time. Does everyone know how to dribble? Yes! Does everyone know how to shoot the ball? Yes! Okay, let's sit down and talk about it for an hour and a half of our practice. How would that go over? You say, you know how to dribble the ball? Show me. Take that ball, dribble down there, and throw a shot, and let's see you hit it. Well, that's personal. No, it isn't. Everybody's watching you perform. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about the difference between stats and books, right? I didn't know there's a difference. There's a lot to track. They're tracking every time you hit, every time you miss, how many shots you took. Referees are running down there with a whistle, and if you take that ball and start running like a football player, guess what's going to happen? They're going to blow the whistle because you're supposed to be dribbling. That's called a travel. All right? Wednesday night, discipleship life. We sat down in a kind of weird circle-ish thing, and we went through the five disciplines. How are you doing with your ministry? How are you doing with your discipleship? How are you doing with your fellowship? And I tell you, everybody was uncomfortable, except Mama. Okay? She's like, let me tell you how I do it. Bam, 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 bam. Next. All right? Not that people weren't doing good or not doing good. It's just uncomfortable when it comes to our true, real performance of serving Jesus. Now, how come we apply the right principles to basketball, but we become ambiguous when it comes to serving Jesus? What's the deal with that? When we die and go to heaven, there will be basketball. But we'll be glorifying God, right? And all that matters is, do we who say we follow Jesus do what we were told to do? And is it that difficult for you or me to get together and say, this is what it looks like? Watch me. Come along. Let's do it together, because I always feel safer when I do it together. Again, evangelism, when we go out evangelizing, your secret weapon is the local librarian. Take her with you. You'll get into every door. Everybody knows her. It's great. All right? But the bottom line, Wednesdays, that's what it's about. That's why it's disciple life. Everybody there is imperfect, okay? So you'll feel very welcome. We're all struggling with it, but the reality is, that's the reality. That's the reality of walking with Jesus. So now we've got all that covered. Now we'll get into Proverbs. We are talking about Proverbs. We are talking about ancient words, ancient truths that are still true today. The fancy term is they're timeless truths. Timeless truths mean they're always timely. You can't say, well, they wore robes and sandals, so what do they know? They're not living in the world we're living in. Yeah, they are, because sin is sin, truth is truth, no matter what technologies we're using, no matter how we're living, what our jobs are, the same truths apply today. Okay? God hasn't changed, and His truths haven't changed. So, let's get into some nitty-gritty stuff, and we'll get right into this. We're talking about God's buffet of goodies. This is what Proverbs is. It's like, you want the fast track to get ahead of everybody else. What's the term? You know, back in, I don't know if they still use Cliff Notes. Okay? But if you didn't want to read the book, you got the Cliff Notes and watched the movie. All right? It's way more easier to consume and get the big ideas, stuff. And the Cliff Notes just keeps the teacher off your back and gives you the false sense that you know the details of the book when really you just... Okay? Proverbs are the Cliff Notes. God's saying, here. You don't have, you can, yeah, you definitely want to read the whole book, but just in case, Here's some nuggets. Here's a smorgasbord of goodies. Eat it up. Get it quick. Get it in you. That's what that's about. So with this, we're in Proverbs 3, and I'm going to show you some crazy cool stuff. But first, I just want to go over the preliminaries. Who wrote it? All of it, mostly up to 29, was done by Solomon. Agur wrote chapter 30, and King Lemuel wrote 31. And again, he's not French. I don't know how to pronounce that word, other than with the French way. All right. It was written during his reign. Most of it was written during his reign, and then compiled 200 years later by King Hezekiah. All right. So that's the brief intro of who did it and when. And this is the eye chart that you can't read from where you are, but everything in Scripture has a logical, rational flow to it. It's not just dumping out all this mismatch of mystery words that, I wonder what this could mean, and God works in mysterious ways, and then if the flowers are facing the sun after noon, then that means... No, none of that weirdness is in there, all right? This is straight up concrete truths that you can use, okay, to get ahead in life. God wants you to get ahead in life. The better jobs, the more success in this life is through wisdom. All right? So, first of all, I want to describe what is wisdom. And again, it's having the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right. Again, the building blocks of wisdom is truth. Truth is objective, it is real, it is not subjective. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true or false. Truth is always truth whether you believe it or not, okay? I don't believe in the law of gravity. I'm still stuck here. Got it? It's always true, all the time. It doesn't matter what you believe or if you're smarty pants PhD professors don't believe it. It doesn't matter. It's still always true. All right? And only people who grab truth can use it properly and become wise. So here's my three goals for you today, three transformational goals. One, know that the Bible is written in really cool ways. Two, develop an increasing hunger for God's word. And three, plan a way to obey. All that matters, ladies and gentlemen, when we leave here, is that Bible. That we read it, know it, obey it. Read it, know it, obey it. That's all that matters in our life. But you got to know, it's written in some really cool ways. And the more you dive into it, the more you'll like it. The more you'll go, that's just good. All right? I want to talk about some literary devices. See, the Bible is for intelligent people. All right? And everyone here is intelligent. So you can read your Bible. The cool thing about it is this, is sometimes the Bible's written in stories. The Gospels are telling stories. It's called a narrative. Sometimes, Psalms, they're in poetry format. And in the Book of Wisdom, or this would be considered books of wisdom, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes, these are considered wisdom literature. And the major definition we're going to look at here of Proverbs, which is a short, popular saying, this is a secular definition, usually of unknown or ancient origin, that expresses effectively some commonplace truth or useful thought or an adage. So in other words, instead of having a big, big dissertation of some truth, they just water it down to one or two sentences that people can grab, growl, and go with. You know what I'm saying? That's what a Proverbs is. Now, there's something I want you to watch for. And boy, that got chopped. How did that happen? But anyway, the bottom part, I guess that's a sign I'm not supposed to talk about it. But the word parallelism, that's from the Greek, meaning beside one another. You're going to see, and you know how you do poems? Roses are red, violets are blue. Some poems rhyme. This one don't. Right? With poems like that, there's a meter to it, and some poems have more complex meters. Songs, like the songs we sung, you know, a hymn has a different meter than necessarily the worship song we did that had a chorus and then verses and chorus, and it would go back and forth, and there's repetition, and they're in usually like dual sentences. What you're going to see here in Proverbs, and we're going to do it right here, you're going to see First, you see the overall big picture and the point of the meeting, and then we're going to unpack it to its two major sections of this parallelism, and then you can unpack it or divide it even further into the compare and contrasts of these things. This is done, even when translated to English thousands of years later, it's still amazingly designed, and you can't escape it. How did God do that? That a truth written in Hebrew, in its meters and its grammatical laws, works so perfectly in English for us. And I'm sure it works for the French or whatever other language there is. So let's take a look at this. This is awesome. We're in Proverbs 3. And I'll point some things out here. We got verses 1 and 2. And I broke these down by their various kinds of parallelisms. And there'll even be another fancy term called dualism. We'll talk about later. Okay, verses 3, 1 and 2. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Okay, that's a whole complete thought. You have the exhortation, and then you have the benefit. See pattern number one? So they're broken up. Now your verse here, this is not ordained by God. What I mean by that is, in the original writings, it didn't have verse 2, chapter 3. This was missing. It was just done. So it was designed to be consumed without these, as if you were reading a regular book, okay? We put these in here as like addresses. If I'm going to your house, who knows where you live? All I need is your address, and I'll punch it into my GPS, and unless you live on the other side of Pawpaw, which will send you to the river, your GPS will take you to the right place. All I need is that little bit of information about where you live to find you, and that's why we have verses and chapters in the Bible to help us find where we're going. So here we have, look at this, my son, here's the exhortation, do not forget my teaching. And then verse, the second line of that, but, now we have a contrast, to get the same point across, let your heart keep my commands. It's the opposite way to say the same thing. It's reinforcing it to us. Do you see that? Just in this. There's a compare and contrast, there's parallelism, and it's also part of a larger parallelism. Do you see that? That's just two verses. And you can just unpack it. It's like those folding things. You just keep unfolding it and unfolding it, and it's more deep and more meaningful the more you unpack it. Do you get it? That's God. That's why the Word of God is infinite, because God is infinite. Now, if that don't break your brain and make you go, whoa, deep God. God's deep. All right? And then just space it. But anyone can apply this. You can tell a 5-year-old this, and you can tell a PhD wise guy this, and they're both going to sit and ponder it. They're both going to sit and if they take a second, they know this has such deep application and meaning, and there's no end to even verse 1. Do not forget my teaching. Well, teaching, what is God teaching me? Whoa, there's a huge, ginormous book here! Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. So, don't forget the teaching. Keep his commands. It's the same thing, right? And now, here's the benefit of doing that. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So if you're looking for the wise thing to do, do not follow Miley Cyrus's example. Follow God's example. She's doing just the opposite of Proverbs chapter 3. All right? That's the contrast right there. That's a perfect example. Now, something to add to this. We know Paul in the New Testament died a young life. He died pretty young. Matter of fact, his head fell off. All right? Is that true to him? Is this true for him? Yes, absolutely true. All right? Jesus started his ministry at 30, died at 33. All right? Is this true for him? Yes, absolutely true. Because for us, the Christians, this is true unless God has another plan for you. And whenever you follow God through Jesus Christ, it may end here. But regardless, heaven lasts a lot longer than the earth does. And we got to set our mindset on there. There's more people dying from disobeying and rebelling against this than there are of serving Jesus. All right? But when they rebel completely against this, they lead to early death, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, 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 and then they die. Or they abort their babies. Okay? Very evil. So, verses 3 and 4, God keeps word close. What did I write? Keep God's word close and conscience. Keep it in your mind. And here we have the exhortation. And then here's the, see it again, there's two verses, two sentences, and in the two sentences there are two parts. And then there's the benefit. So here we go. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What do you think God wants you to do with His Word, His Bible? How close, how intimate do you think God wants you to have His Word to you? That's pretty close. It doesn't get more intimate than that, than hanging around your neck and written on your heart. And let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. In other words, keep the steadfast love, keep the faithfulness in Christ. And then the benefit, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. All right? You know you're doing it right when you start developing extremes. Either God, especially with God, even with God and man, either God and man hate you or God and man love you. And that all depends on how effective you are at obeying God or disobeying God. For the Christian, God's going to love you when you submit to Christ, and then when you go out there in the world, people are going to love you, and then people are going to hate you because you follow Jesus. But you won't have indifferent people. I guess that's the point. You will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. That's the benefit of that. Let's keep going. So, rule of thumb. When man disagrees with God, man is wrong. Okay? Proverbs 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord, and that Lord is Yahweh, Lord, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your make straight your paths. In other words, He'll give you the clear directions to go. All right? But, let's unpack that. Let's go a little deeper here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Doesn't that sound something like, you know, the first and greatest commandment of them all, which is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You can now reinforce this truth with other scripture. It is completely in line with the truth of the scripture. With all your heart. That takes work. That takes preemptive work. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, at this time, this is where, when you're going from adolescent to grown up, you have that zone where you're trying to figure out this understanding. Does God really have the truth for me? Or does the TV and the stupid, silly people on there, do they have the truth for me? But the big idea is either you're God or God is God, and this is the issue. And this is telling right now, you are not God. Don't lean on your understanding. It'll always lead you down the wrong way. Look at God. Trust in God. And in all your ways, whether it's work or school or anything, acknowledge Him. Keep Him in mind. He's watching you. He will make your path straight. He will do that. Okay? Now, something else when it comes to when there's a rule of thumb and man disagrees with God, guess who's wrong? It is man. When it comes to morality, like the president saying certain sex practices are no longer immoral, they're still immoral because God didn't change His mind. Obama did not check with God first before he went and decided to rewrite morality. Also, real science. When science disagrees with God, guess who's wrong? Okay? Now, coming up on February 4th, okay? At 7 p.m., there's going to live stream. There's an actual, finally, a public debate between Bill Nye the Science Guy and Kim Han of Answers in Genesis. Now, Bill Nye is absolutely confident that evolution's the way it is, and if you even teach people creationism, it is child abuse. He's got a YouTube video where he pretty much says that. And finally, he's willing to meet and have a debate. I think that's great. Personally, I gotta give this guy a lot of points because he was on Dances with Stars. Okay, you gotta see Bill Nye. Yeah, he was on Dances. You gotta give the guy credit because you know he didn't have the skill, but he went on there and just did. I give him points for that, and the fact that he's willing to have a discussion. Now, Richard Dawkins and all these smarty pants people are very mad at Bill Nye because he's even willing to give an audience to those crazy creationists. And to even listen to them is giving them validity. And so they're attacking him for even having the discussion. Because really they're terrified. Because they know evolution holds no scientific value whatsoever. It has been dead for a while. He's not convinced. He's a humanist. He'll tell you right up front. He won a humanist award. All right, which means he thinks he came from a mud puddle and an accident, and he'll die and become an oblivion of nothingness. All right, that's his hope. That's his hope. And that's why he'll tell people, if anything smells of God, that, just reject it, because it's got God on it. Now, something else to keep in mind, there is no such thing as an unbiased scientist. Your science teachers are not unbiased. They are not there in their white lab coats saying, just show me the facts. They're not doing that. They're going, just show me the facts. Oh, that's like God! Ah! Shh, shh, shh. That's exactly what they're doing. Anytime a scientist looks at the true empirical evidence, which leads from intelligent design to designer, matter of fact, even the concept of empirical science is just like the concept of wisdom. It requires truth to be observed. It is transcendent. Science's core basis is transcendent truth. All right? It's insanely awesome. At all areas, it always leads back to a creator. All right? But when God, when a heart is blind, they will throw logic right out the window. And that's what this poor soul did. That's why the president does. And okay, so let's keep moving. So verses 3 through 7 and 8 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. See the pattern again? 7 and 8, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Here's the sin factor. Here's what your friends and family are doing who reject God. The moment they reject God, they think they're smarter than God. If you want to be entertained, go to my Facebook posts. And a friend called Pagan Jim wrote in there, see, I'm making him famous. He responded to one of my pro-life posts up there. And first thing he does is he eliminates God, and then he just says anything he wants, whenever he wants, to justify evil for evil. Blah, 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 he's all over the place. And I just told him, I said, dude, it's real convenient of you. You say this is evil and that's not, just so you can justify your point. I said, you're a cork bopping around in the ocean of ambiguity. You're nothing. You stand for nothing. He's wise in his own eyes. He does not fear the Lord, and so evil is okay as long as it's convenient for him. That's the opposite of this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. His truths have not changed. And if we reject Christ, we will go to hell. That's a great reason to fear God, because his wrath is still on us. But if we turn to God, his wrath is turned away. And we turn away from evil. And it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. All right? And what usually when we're stressed, does it affect us physically when we're stressed emotionally?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Very much.
Well, there you go. How did they know that thousands of years ago? Anti-God's not scientific. That's not a science book. How did he know that? He can't make that claim. He's not qualified. And you aren't qualified to know that stress affects you physically. What are you talking about? Okay. What it looks like to trust and acknowledge God, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That's, boy, if you want to find out how much someone loves God, what does your wallet tell you? Again, keeping track of those stats and scores like with basketball, your wallet says a lot about how much you love Jesus, about where your money's going or not going. And when you think of those prosperity preachers, that's an opposite message of this. I'm giving you the contrast, and I make no bones about it. The prosperity preachers emphasizes this. You want wealth? Send your money to my TV ministry and God will bless you. I'm saying is, if you love God, your money will show it. Period. And there's God wants to know where your dollars are spent. I don't want to know where they're spent. I'm not your God. God wants to know where your money's spent, how it's spent, why it's spent, what it's spent on, what it's not spent on. All right? When I think of all the free tools and Bible study equipment that we can get from online that are free, it's time, money being spent on these things, effort, Bible studies. Our mailbox club ranges from children to grown-ups in the content, the relevancy of the content, for free stuff to give you, all right? But as David said, he won't give anything and sacrifice to the Lord unless it cost him something, because he knew his heart's connected to his wallet. As a matter of fact, Jesus knows that, because he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? Your spiritual training, push forward or wait for the boot. In verses 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, nor be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Again, two verses emphasizing one point. And the way I like to say it is, you can either blunder forward in Christ, try and make a mistake, or you can wail back. Just sit back. I'm just going to wait. Kablam! God comes along and gives you his holy boot, and you're moving forward one way or the other. Okay, how do you want to move forward is up to you, but you will move forward in Christ. Okay? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. Again, I'm going to keep using the basketball thing. When they practice dribbling and they practice passing, and you do it again and again and again and again and again till you get so good at it, you're not thinking about it, you're just doing it to help make something happen, get a score, a point. All right? That's what discipline is. Discipline isn't always a spanky and getting to the corner. It's practice, practice, practice until you get it right. That's what this discipline is. And sometimes the Lord's discipline is just putting us in a place where we start practicing the right things. It's not punishment. When God deals with us, it's never punishment. It's discipline. And look at his heart. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights. I was asking Michelle of what sort of illustration we could use with our kids for that. And if you can relate to this, do you remember as a child being afraid of the dark? Okay? And like right now, our kids got that. Even though our house is not large, once the dining room light's off between the living room and their bedroom, they can't go. Because there's darkness in the dining room, right? And they'll sit there and it's like, I'm like, go! And I'll just tease them and stuff. And then I warn them about Bob. Bob is the leftover food under the table that gets spilled there is coming together into a little monster called Bob. So and now they're afraid of Bob under the table. And the only way to keep Bob away is to sweep up the mess under the table. See? So anyway. But do you remember giggling as parents, you know, when your kid's screaming in terror because of the unknown, you know, like having a splinter removed? You want to, you'd almost think we're sawing the kid's leg off with a, you know, the saw. Zah! The way they're screaming their head off when we're trying to get a splinter out of their foot, right? You bring their foot up, this isn't going to hurt. They're tweezers, look, they're not even sharp. Right? I mean, it's like the neighbors are thinking we're abusing our kids because we're trying to get the splinter out of their foot. Terrified. And of course, we're looking at each other kind of giggling, all right? Or getting a shot. All these things are good. But for a child at that stage of life, they're terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. You parents, you don't understand. That's a dark hallway, and I'm scared. That's what God does. When God says, go be a minister, go disciple, go evangelize, go have fellowship, and we're going, I don't know, let me think about it. My schedule's different, I don't know. God's going to get us to do it one way or the other. Either we're going to blunder forward or the boot's coming. But either way, I mean, and I think back of Wednesdays, it was tough to discuss those disciplines because it's scary. It's exposing. And we're having a splinter removed. We're in a dark room or we're getting a shot. And we're grown-ups, right? Okay? When we get to heaven, we're going to look back and go, I can't believe I was afraid to... The heaven's great! Why was I so afraid to tell Billy Bob about Jesus? Why did I care? I'm in heaven now! What? We don't set our eyes on where we're supposed to, so we're too chicken to do what we're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? If you belong to God through Jesus Christ, God delights in you. God delights in watching you and helping you become mature. We love seeing our kids get mature. I love to see Javin look down that dark hallway and he gears up and he goes, and he runs through that dark hallway. Right? I'm going, yeah! He ran through the dark hallway. He was terrified, but he did it. That's how God views us when we stumble forward telling somebody about Jesus or trying to make that worship time or trying to obey Him. He's delighted because we're growing up into the image of Jesus. And look at Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, Paul writes, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Or Jesus Christ. Okay? We're almost done. Wisdom personified. Ladies, this is your BFF. Guys, this is your first girlfriend. Wisdom personified as a lady. Not your car. Wisdom. All right? You know how you talk about your cars? Yeah, she's been a good car. She's been a great truck. What? All right. Here it is. Here's what you can personify as a lady. Verses 3:13 through 15. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. For she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire compares with her. All right? This is what we need to be chasing. Look how this writer is lifting this up, wisdom up, as the thing to chase. This is where it's at. This is the source of what we as human beings need. If you're not the real sharp, intelligent type like myself, I need wisdom. I need those truths. I need someone else to tell me how to do it because I don't get it. I'm one of those guys who has to make the wrong choices unless someone can guide me through the obstacle course with the least amount of pain. All right? Wisdom is that guide. Wisdom is the best friend you will ever have. Okay? It goes on. Again, there's the parallels. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. I want to emphasize here, peace is the word shalom. Now, if you go to Israel and you go, shalom, it says means peace, but they use it as hi. Okay, we'd say, hello, hi, how you doing? There they say shalom. And shalom just doesn't mean peace. Like, oh, peace, hippie peace, bead peace. No, we're not talking that type of peace. We're talking completeness. You can't read this, so I'll read it to you. Safety, soundness in body, welfare, wealth, prosperity. That means a whole holistic type of peace. And you can only get that peace through Christ. So when they're talking peace, we are talking whole peace. Not just the peace at the end of a day. Real peace. The way humans are meant to be peace. Okay? God used wisdom to create the universe. And again, God, this word Lord means Jehovah, and Jews would never say Jehovah because that's God's real name. So they block out all the vowels and just have the consonants, and that would be Yahweh. All right? So that's where we get the word Jehovah, means the existing one. In verses 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop from the drop dew. The clouds drop the dew. Okay? Again, wisdom is based off truth. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. That makes complete logical sense. That is a logical statement. That is not a mythological statement. Oh yeah, who made it? Who did it? God did it. That's what the evolutionist says because they don't want to think. Humans who trust in Christ think the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. That's logical. That's concrete. That's scientific. Because I can measure that. Because if the world is founded by wisdom, I should be able to take a truth, there again, I even had to use the word truth, and unpack it and see the system at work. Because it's logical. It's there. It's measurable. It's repeatable. It's wisdom. All right? He understands, by understanding, he established the heavens. Again, here's the two examples. The food, what? Chain? What a coincidence. How does nothing, evolution, explode into everything and you get a chain? How does that happen? Or water cycle, right? Even the magic school bus sees the water cycle, but evolutionists don't. They think an explosion of nothingness created the water cycle. Okay, that's not wisdom. That's folly. And so, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. These God's truths, the Bible, is what I put down here. This highlighted word yellow is all those verses above, talking about God's biblical truths, which is obviously found in the Scripture. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Something about adornment for your neck. How private is a big old necklace or a lei for the, you know, the Hawaiians or whatever? How private is that? It's not. It might be personal. It's around your neck, not theirs, but it's certainly not private. It's not secret. It's not a mystery. God is very blatant. He wants you to live for Him, and when you live for Him, everybody's going to notice. Okay? And we're almost done here. We're wrapping it up. Now, here we go. We're coming into a double parallelism. Hang on. Get your brain fresh, everybody. Just go like this. Everybody done it? Okay. Thank you. There. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. There's back to that spiritual-physical connection. All right? And then you'll walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you know that Christ has you, you have a purpose and a meaning for life. It's to obey and follow Jesus. And you get up that day, you know, your path is set. Whatever happens, there's certain things you can hold on to and know they will never change. And when something bad happens, when 9/11, when the Muslims attack America and thousands of people die, you can have Christ and hold on to Christ. You understand? Secure in Christ. Do not be afraid. And here we go at verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You belong to Christ. And that's where your security should be, whether it's here or heaven. All right? And it's in that context of suffering that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say it about, I need to just make more money and I need to do this. He was talking about serving Jesus and getting thrown, having rocks thrown at his face or being shipwrecked. He was talking about suffering for Jesus. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here, let the Lord be your confidence and he will keep your foot from being caught. And be good, second half of the great commandment. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I'll give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. So we have relationship with God. We have relationship with each other. Okay? There's some great stuff here. I want to get through this. So I want to make sure you all have a good, healthy appetite. Anyone getting hungry yet? Okay? A good study makes you hungry. Verses 30 through 32. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Okay? Some people like to be contentious. They like to just pick a fight when there isn't a fight. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. Now, God uses abomination several times, and it's for some of the highest level sins against God. And deviousness is one of those that is connected to abomination. Other abominations is profane sacrifices to God. Certain sexual immoralities are abomination to God, as well as a devious person. Someone whose sole goal is to scheme and be bad. Okay? But the upright are in his confidence. Okay, second to last slide. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. These are the last verses. Now here you have something, fancy term, contrasting dualism. Dualism means, like the yin and the yang, your secular friends who don't like Jesus, they're going to say, you need good and evil to have a balance in the universe. And they'll say something really silly like that. And you're going to say, well, that was evil. All right? Contrasting dualism, here's biblical dualism. The Lord's going to smack down evil, and the Lord, who he is saved through Jesus, will be blessed. That's your real dualism. Good wins, evil gets stomped out. That's the difference. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners, he is scornful. God is scornful to those who are scornful to him. Oh, really? Bink! Right? But to the humble, a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord will not deny. He gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. If there ain't a reason to pursue wisdom, here's a good one. Which side of God's favor do you want to be on? Right? That's the last verse. So here's your call to action. You need to be a wisdom hunter. Because true life, true wisdom is from God and it gives life. You've got to learn to become a wisdom hunter. You've got to sniff it out. You've got to see a truth and go, oh, that's a truth. Awesome. And write it down and capture it. What does that mean to me if I take that truth and apply it to my life and live that truth? What does that look like? That's a lot different than going, hey, the TV said that. It must be right. We don't want to do that. We want to know where real truth is and obey it. Because that's where life is. That's where happy people live. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, again, what a smorgasbord of never-ending waterfall of truths that you've just poured all over us. Amazing truths given to us in such amazingly designed format of the written word that even translates amazing to our language. And they're all there, very sharp truths for us to obey, very clear. Undebatable. Father, give these saints the strength, the courage, and the power through the Holy Spirit to read it, understand it, and obey it.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.